This episode of Creative Control Daily is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And there's no awkwardness, and you don't even have to leave the house. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code CREATIVE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code CREATIVE, to try Blue Chew for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring Creative Control Daily. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So please be sure to use our promo code CREATIVE at BlueChew.com. Hello and welcome to Creative Control Daily. I'm your host, Joe Feeney. Who else would I be hosting Creative Control Daily? I wanted to come on and do an episode reviewing the Guns N' Roses We're Effin' Back tour opener that I saw on Saturday night in Hershey, PA at Hershey Stadium. So for those of you that are Guns N' Roses fans, this is a great episode for you if you're wondering what's going on with the tour beginning and all that. And if you're not a Guns N' Roses fan, I apologize. I'd like to start by saying I've seen some great, great Guns N' Roses shows, you know. Unfortunately, the first time I attempted it, I was in Philadelphia, December 6, 2002. Still remember the date. At the Wells Fargo Center, Axl was touring with the Buckethead version of the band. They had done their MTV VMA performance, which, as I've said on other Guns N' Roses-related shows, I thought was, like, the greatest. And other people buried, of course, but we'll get to that. But I was really excited to see the tour. I had tickets for Friday night and Sunday night. Friday night, I was in the nosebleeds, and Sunday night, I was going to be on the floor, basically. So it could have been a great weekend, but it wasn't, as that tour had begun to implode. And after the night before their show, a sold-out show at Madison Square Garden, New York, the DVD and bootleg still circulate. It was a great performance, probably the best performance for that iteration of the band. Something happened. We're still not entirely sure what. Axl has said that he was sick and called the manager to cancel the show, and then they didn't cancel it, something like that. There had been rumors that he was pissed from the night before about something that happened at a New York club, and it just totally ruined his mood or whatever. And that was a much different, much more temperamental Axl back then. Probably 2002 Axl was way more out of control and way more reactionary than the guy from the 80s and 90s that everyone remembers. Actually, 2006, Axl was fighting Tommy Hilfiger and getting arrested for smashing up a hotel lobby and biting a security guard, you know. So 2006 Axl might have been the wildest one. But whatever happened, he no-showed. You know, he did not come to the building. The rest of the band was there. I got to see a tour opener of Mixmaster Mike, who was up there forever trying to delay the inevitable. And then Axl wasn't there. The band never came out. They started covering up the equipment. And a riot began, and I was 21 years old, so I'm not going to sit here and try to say that I wasn't a part of some of the shenanigans there. I was up in the top row, like I said, so I had a friend that was taking ceiling tiles out and winging them, very smart and safe. I had actually paid to rent binoculars that were attached to the seat in front of you. I don't even think they do that anymore because you can zoom in on anything with your phone or a camera or whatever. So I was pissed that my binoculars would not be put to good use. So I tried to yank the binoculars out of the chair. It was a foolhardy attempt. Did not work. But there was a lot of screaming and yelling. And as we left, we saw some fires. We saw the cops getting involved and sped the hell out of there. You know, so that situation was what caused the tour to stop. And that was it. The next few days, all the cancellations came down. And didn't see Axl again for about 3.5 years. Oh, and a coda on that is how I was 21, I was finally getting to see my favorite band, my favorite singer, you know, a lot of hero worship going on, and Couldn't wait, man. Knew the set list, didn't care, just wanted to see it, was excited to hear the new songs. They had three new songs in the set then, and so Axl doesn't show up, and I'm just heartbroken. And then as I get out of the car, when we go back to my friend's house for a party, as soon as I step out of the car, whoop, I slip on some ice, land right on my back, and just lay there. My friend's like, you all right, man? I'm just leave me, dude. Just leave me here, which they did. I eventually got up and dusted myself off and then, you know, went all across all the GNR message boards even back then to find out what in the hell happened. Am I going to get a, you know, a chance to see them Sunday? Is this just a hiccup? Well, it wasn't. There was no more shows. So a few years later, you know, the rumors started that the Chinese Democracy was coming out, and this was 2006. And so I was following all that. I had all the leaks. Multiple friends of mine were subjected to me playing the same three or four song CD ad nauseum, which may have ruined those songs for those people. I apologize. And Axl was doing interviews. He was on Eddie Trunk's radio show to meet up with Sebastian Bach. Chris Jericho was on there as well, a story that's documented in his second book. And that was the week before these New York shows in Hammerstein. There was four warm-up shows set up, and I made sure that I got tickets to the first show, which, as we'll see, can either be very exciting or not the greatest idea. But that first show at Hammerstein, the first time I saw them, 2006, May 12th, I can remember that too, which is, you'll notice as time goes on, I'm not going to remember the dates anymore. But it was great. You know, I got to see the new guitarist, Bumblefoot Ron Thal at the time, who I've had on this show. That was his debut with the band. Axl was slim. He had the braids pulled back. He was looking in great shape, sounding in great voice. And I got to see, I should have probably had set list prepared for this, but I got to see, you know, more than half of Chinese Democracy, the album, I think. They played Chinese Democracy, they played Better, IRS, and There Was a Time for the first time. They played Madagascar, the blues. I think there was other ones, but that was exciting. I was lucky enough to be there and see one of my favorite songs, Better, played for the first time, which when they played Better, it was like, wow, they're playing these songs. This album is coming. Oh, my God. It's the big tour. It's the big comeback. Holy shit. And although later I became accustomed to these marathon 3-hour Guns N' Roses shows, which are no problem. I'm good with that. I remember Hammerstein was like two hours, 20 minutes or something. But they played everything you could really want to hear other than some Use Your Illusion songs they would add in the years following. And it was just great. I was excited. I was waiting for the new album, which was another 2.5 years away. I did see them again that year, my only time I've been in Madison Square Garden, which honestly kind of seemed, it was good. It just seemed like a paint-by-numbers show. I remember not being that excited about it afterwards. I don't know why. I think there were some songs missing that I wanted, and it could have had to do with my mood. I'm not sure, but MSG, that show, has never ranked on my top three or five list or whatever. And from there, it was quiet. There wasn't too much going on in the U.S. They toured in 07. And then they shut down for a little while. At the end of 2008, Chinese Democracy comes out. It's not exactly a, you know, some critics really, really put it over. And then your general pop culture critics slammed it. I loved it, of course. I still listen to it a lot. I'm happy that they keep some of those songs on today's set list. And slowly but surely, it's won some of my friends over as well that were kind of sick of me pushing it on them. But they learned to like it on their own, which is probably the better way for these things to happen. And but again, it was quiet after the album was released. They did no publicity for it. Axl was nowhere to be found. And then the rumors start again. They started touring at the end of 2009 in Asia and doing that thing, and went through 2010. And actually, a lot of people in the hardcore GNR fan base consider the 2010 tours to be his best vocally, like ever. You know, and but those are the people that are obsessed with the rasp. He needs more rasp in his voice. And I found myself to be a fan of the cleaner style that he brought in later in his career. But we need the rat. He's not rasping. He sounds like Mickey Mouse. He's not rasping, damn it. So they prefer that year. And there is some powerful videos from 2010 on YouTube where he's really killing it. That 2010 run, and then AC/DC when he fronted them, is probably the best example of what a great singer he can be. But lucky for me, 2011 rolled around. They announced their North American tour. I had a good job at the time, a management job, and had a decent amount of money to play with. So I was able to go to three shows that fall and winter. I saw them in East Rutherford in their indoor building for the basketball team, I guess, or whatever. I can't remember what it's called. I saw them in Wilkes-Barre with my wife, who I had started dating that year and had always told her, lucky her. that I would take her to Guns N' Roses at some point. They actually played Wilkes-Barre, which is where my wife's from. I was like, oh my God, what are these giant stars doing in this dump? No, I'm a fan of Wilkes-Barre, actually. Used to really like going up there to visit. And I saw them again in Camden, where I'd actually won the tickets off the radio. I believe there's a recording of that exists somewhere. My friend recorded it with my very subdued, hey man, you won the Guns N' Roses tickets, huh? And I'm like, thank you. They're like, you got to do an MMR Rocks. Do it. Put something into it. Do an MMR Rocks. MMR Rocks. You know, so. As Conan has said when I went to open up his live show in Vegas, I'm not exactly Mr. Pizzazz. I'm not a hype man. So, you know, I'm not going to be all excited on the radio. But I won the tickets. They were on the floor. And I really love these shows, especially the one in Camden. Actually ranks up there pretty high. They played a long-ass time. They played a lot of the songs I would want to hear, Chinese Democracy Cuts. And, of course, Better and Rocket Queen are in there. And Estranged was back. They had started playing Estranged again in 2011, which is a lot of people's favorites. I mean, I know most people, oh, Jungle, Paradise City, Sweet Child of Mine, November Rain, You Could Be Mine, maybe, Patience. That's the kind of stuff that they know. And what a run of songs that is right there anyway. But Estranged, if you're one of the many, many people that waited in line for the Use Your Illusion tapes, or you discovered them later in life, and instead of just listening to the radio songs, you listen to the whole record, Estranged is just a masterpiece. So seeing that live, and I think it was like a on the 2011 tour, there was a 1-2-3 punch. It was like Rocket Queen, Better, Estranged, right in a row. It was fantastic, fantastic. My favorite series of songs I've ever seen. But I liked that tour. You know, I was a fan of that lineup. I know Mike Durbin kind of scoffs at that, but I really was. You know, they became my Guns N' Roses. You know, Frank on the drums, he's still there, but Tommy Stinson on bass had been around for 17 years at that point or something, and Fortis had been there a long time, and DJ Ashbill was, you know, settling in, and Axel had this sweet mustache. You know, I'm sure not too many people agree with me there, but, you know, I love that iteration of the band, and seeing those three shows in a few weeks span was great. They did an up-close and personal tour in 2012. The best show I've ever seen them do was in Atlantic City at the House of Blues. You know, small venue, small crowd. They played in classic old Guns N' Roses style, where they didn't give a shit what time they came out. They played about 12 to 3:25 or something like that. Incredible set. They added Civil War, You're Crazy. They did an extended encore. And then that's the time that I wound up at the Guns N' Roses after party and wound up sitting in the same room as Axl Rose, which is I love telling the story. It really wasn't that big a deal, depending on how you look at it. Oh, you're in the room with this guy. How many people have gotten to do that? Right. But really, I was just sitting in the room and listening to stories, and it was kind of short-lived. It might have been 20, 30 minutes. I don't know. So, but it was an exciting night overall. My favorite show that I've seen. You know, 2016, they come back. Slash and Duff are back. I got to see, well, first off, I tried to go to the show at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. I had terrible luck with this band in Philadelphia, apparently. And a handful of my friends got kicked out by security for, God forbid, passing a joint around. Oh, at a Guns N' Roses concert? My word. Oh, my God. Think of the children. And I was so angry and frustrated at that I actually left the show maybe 4 or 5 songs in. I didn't get to see it. I was fucking pissed. Fuck you, Atlas Security. Fucking ridiculous, man. And reading in the newspaper the next day that there's people that were carted out that drunk or falling down the stairs and shitting themselves, believe me, we weren't quite that far along. You know, we were just having a good time, and I don't know why they clamped down on us. If someone complained, who knows? Oh my God, they're smoking the pot. Oh no, get them out of here. So, but then as a Redeemer show, two friends of mine luckily agreed to go up to East Rutherford with me. I got to see them at MetLife Stadium from the Chase Club box. It was pretty sweet. And good show, you know, hot July night. You know, it was a lot of fun. I was like, oh shit, I'm finally getting to see Slash and Duff back in the band. This is incredible. And let me see, that was it for me for that tour. 2017, I got to go twice. I got to see them in Hershey at the stadium, and I got to see them in Philly at the Wells Fargo Center finally, where they again played a very long set, a lot of encores. They played There Was a Time. I'd never seen this band, this version of the band do that. They played Madagascar. It's the first time this version of the band ever did that. So it was kind of cool. These, as a Guns N' Roses fan, you have to appreciate these cool little small moments, you know. Like, oh, they put You're Crazy into the set. Yeah, the set stays the same a lot. You're going to, like, the opening 4 songs or 5 aren't going to change. That's just, that's their rhythm. That's the way they like to do it. So when they slip in a B-side or a deep cut or even, God forbid, a new song, those are the moments that you got to appreciate. So, and that Philadelphia show at Wells Fargo is probably up there in my favorites. You know, Hammerstein, Atlantic City, and Philadelphia in 2017 are probably the three best that I've seen. Did I say Camden? I can't even remember. Probably didn't. So Camden's in there too. And then there's some shows, like I said, New York. Wilkes-Barre was a great time because I was with my wife, like I said, but I wasn't, like, that was a shortened set a little bit. So while it was a great show and he sounded great, you know, I'm a spoiled, stubborn fan. I want my full set, damn it. And so I hadn't seen them since 2017. And, you know, there was supposed to be a show last year at Lincoln Financial Field where it would have been GNR and then the Smashing Pumpkins opening, which was like, okay, that's two really cool things. And of course, as we all know, the pandemic ruined anyone's ability to go anywhere last year. Everything, sports, entertainment, bands, all that, you know, we barely had any of that. Most were canceled. So when the rescheduling of the tour was announced for this year after, you know, the restrictions were lifted and things like that, you know, for now, I was excited to see the band again. It's been a few years, you know, and this is, I always have a great time at the show. I always tell my wife, it's, you know, this is my happy place. Love the band. I'm happy the whole show. I can't wait to see what they're going to do, what they're going to pull out. You know, is Axl going to sound great? How's Slash going to be? You know, how's the crowd? Like, the crowd can get me really amped up, you know? And so I bought, for this tour, there's two nights in Atlantic City, two nights in a row in September at a smaller venue at the Hard Rock. And I was like, that's right up my alley. I love Atlantic City. It's a smaller indoor venue. My wife and I can stay for the weekend. That's perfect. And I knew at some point there was going to be a third show I was going to choose. So it was either going to be up here in Hershey, in East Rutherford, or maybe down in Baltimore, which is an indoor show. And about this time last week, I texted my friend Tom and I said, would you want to go to Hershey on Saturday? It's the tour opener. I think that's what I want to do. You know, we could go back up to Hershey again. He went with me last time and have a good time or whatever. And we did have a really good time. It was a very fun day and night. But to get to the show, which is now 15, 17 minutes in, whatever, now you're going to get to it. You know, it's been a strange year. It's been a horrible winter and... I guess everyone's been doing their projects indoors, you know, major house cleaning, boxing up clutter, putting it away in the closets, doing what you got to move furniture, you know, whatever you had to do, there was no excuse not to do it, right? Because we were all stuck inside. Time to get the lawn on track. I know, the last thing anyone needs or wants is another complicated or toxic lawn product. But Sunday is more than a lawn care product. It's a customized lawn plan that works with nature. They take out all the guesswork and unwanted chemicals, so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for people, pets, and the planet. Personally, I can't wait to start using my Sunday products. They did a free lawn analysis to send me the perfect stuff, and it's really the first time I'm going to get serious about lawn care. You know, when you're in a nice neighborhood, you want your lawn to look nice, too. If it looks crappy, it reflects on your neighbors. They get upset with you and all that, so... It's also a point of pride, too. You want the front of your house to look nice. So I can't wait to get my Sunday products and get this grass looking as green as it can be. Plus, Sunday makes taking care of your lawn easier than ever. All I have to do is go to GetSunday.com, put in my home address, and their free lawn analysis tool will take care of the rest in just seconds. Sunday uses soil and climate data to create a tailored nutrient plan so you get all the stuff your lawn needs and nothing it doesn't. Sunday is made with ingredients that you can actually pronounce, like seaweed, iron, and molasses, so you can grow better and feel better about it. Sunday explains exactly what you get and why. And everything is sent straight to your door right when you need it. All I have to do is attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray. Lawn care can take up a whole day, you know how it goes. But now it can take less than 15 minutes. And best of all, this stuff really works. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/creative to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/creative. So I decided to go to Hershey, and I knew the tour opener is taking a chance because Axl has he's notorious when they're getting back on the road that he may not be in the finest form. Like, I don't think this is a guy that spends all his time rehearsing. You know, the tour was just announced not that long ago. Maybe he wasn't ready, and I think it showed in their performance. The band also was kind of iffy. Usually they're super tight, but there was, you know, missed chords. The drumming could be off. The sound was bad. I know you're in a big stadium, and they always say it's not ideal for band sound, but the sound was off. Axl's mic was in and out. It was wacky, and you know, a rumored set list leaked, like a picture of the set list, and I was like, oh man, there's some stuff on here. There was like seven songs that I hadn't seen or hadn't seen in years, or that were added to this supposed, you know, static set list that never changes. It does change, but you know, little by little, like I said, you got to appreciate the little things. You're not gonna. The band only has 4 full albums, right, and an EP, something like that, and an album of covers. Like, give me a break. Like, do you want them to take Jungle and Paradise City and, you know, Estranged and Live and Let Die out of the set? Like, there's certain songs that people that aren't as hard up as you for new material want to hear, and they're not gonna go anywhere. So I go into the show knowing 90% of the songs that I'm probably gonna hear, which is fine because I'm a big fan. So we get there, and there's Hershey sucks. First off, we couldn't get a hotel anywhere. Like, our hotel was, I think that it eventually said 17 miles out or something like that, which is brutal. So we had to take this long Uber ride to the show, and the driver was a very nice guy, but must have been listening to the worst droning, like, sad, angry, deep voice rock. I don't know what it was. It was very bad, but what am I going to do? It's his fucking car. And no, I'm not presumptuous enough to try to tell an Uber driver to change the radio. That's a little uncouth, in my opinion. So we're driving down. We get there. We go in. It's, you know, been to the building before, kind of familiar with it. Went over and, you know, we got a couple of drinks, and I bought myself a very fancy $50 T-shirt. Yeah, I'm more a fan of the Kid Rock price structure, which is like $30 tickets, $20 T-shirt, $5 beers. Hey, that's perfect, buddy. But, you know, Guns N' Roses, it's a big... it's a big corporation now, isn't it? It's an event. A lot of hands in a lot of pockets, I'm sure. So I'm not surprised. If you're listening to this and you want to tweet at me at JFFeeney3RD, let me know the most expensive concert T-shirt you've ever seen. Because actually, I think I expected 60. So I got a shirt. We're running around, and the doors open at 5. And Wolfgang Van Halen's supposed to start at 6. And it's like 6:45, and I'm like, come on. Like, now I'm spoiled. I want things to start on time when they're supposed to. I don't know why they ran late, if they're waiting for people to come in. You know, sometimes wrestling shows do that, concerts do that. Let's wait for the crowd to file in. Or if there was technical or sound issues. But I had the only familiarity I had with Wolfgang was, you know, he played in Van Halen. But not being an enormous Van Halen fan, I didn't know who he was, what his talents were, how he sounded, anything. I was going into this blind. And he had a great set. Very, very, very talented. Good voice. Was killing it on the guitar. From what I understand, his album, he plays every instrument, which I'm a total mark for. Another reason I'm a Kid Rock mark, believe it or not. He plays every instrument as well. But definitely earned himself a fan. I'm going to check out his record sometime this week or something like that. And but thumbs up to him. I highly recommend Wolfgang Van Halen. He did a great job. It's tough to be an opener for Guns N' Roses because there's maybe 40% or so of the crowd that are going to boo you just because you're not Guns N' Roses, or just chant Guns N' Roses, or fuck you, where's Guns N' Roses, stuff like that. So he won the crowd over. I only heard a couple of detractors. There was actually a handful of people that had come up that I spoke to that actually come up just to see him play his first show with his new band, because that's what it was. It was his first show with this band Mammoth, and that was a big deal to some people. So yeah, he won me over. It was good stuff. If he, you know, once he gets out of this, out of his GNR obligations, if he tours on his own, I would highly recommend it. Maybe even go see it if I become a big enough fan. But so he plays a little bit. GNR, man, it's about, I don't know, a 30-minute wait. It wasn't that bad. I think I expect it, because at first I expect it 7 to 10:30. Because like I said, I know my set list. I know how long they play, damn it. And the time went on. I'd have to ask my friend Tom, who went with me. I forget exactly when they came out, but it was somewhere around 8 o'clock, which is fine. And it started off fine. It started off good, you know, the usual songs. It's So Easy and Mr. Brownstone started, and then Chinese Democracy. But there was moments where I was noticing that that Axl was struggling a little, having a little trouble. And I don't know, he was fumbling with his ear monitor, and he has this gimmick at the back of the stage where when he steps on the pedal, he can talk to the sound guys or the management or whoever he's talking to. I'm sure there's many people on the headsets. And he was doing that a lot. And, you know, like I said, if you were a casual fan there, and everyone I talked to loved the show, because they're not sitting there analyzing everything like I am. You know, I'm watching a little too close. And that definitely affected my enjoyment, my potential enjoyment of the show. But, you know, being as keen-eyed as I am on Guns N' Roses, my expertise in that area and what kind of show they play and all that, how they should sound, and knowing Axl's voice and what's good and what's a bad sign. Even in It's So Easy, I noticed a little bit where it would crack. And Chinese Democracy, there's a couple of, you know, misses. But Jungle, You know, if you've ever seen Guns N' Roses live or on MTV or whatever, you know that when Welcome to the Jungle starts, he starts with this big old scream, and he skipped that. And I said, all right, he's saving it. You know, he knows that he's rusty or whatever. Because, again, it was the first show back. The last time they played was March 2020. You know, a year and 5 months. How many times has he sang in that style? You know, I don't think he's screeching like a banshee Welcome to the Jungle in his house, you know. So I thought, all right, maybe he's being careful. And the band was playing slower too. I think they slowed it down a notch to maybe help Axl out. And I think that's what to expect for the future shows. That you're gonna, if you have a keen ear, you're gonna go, oh, they slowed this down just a scotch, you know. And there were just a couple of misses, and I'm looking at my friend Tom, and I'm going, he's hurting, he's struggling, you know. And took a walk. Song number five, Double Talk and Jive, is my walk away song for sure. Took a walk, went to the bathroom, got a beer. It's not one of my favorites off the records, and there's also an extended instrumental outro, so I know I got time. And when I come back to the seat, they play Velvet Revolver's Slither, which I had seen performances on video before, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this is Axl's song, really. You know, he does a pretty good job on some parts, but then he does the high-pitched voice in the chorus, and I wasn't used to it. You know, I'm used to the Velvet Revolver version, but in hindsight, this was probably the best song of the entire show. Slither was really good. You know, the instrumentally, it kicks ass, and they seem to have that rhythm down. Axl actually really did a good job here, but the cut from Chinese Democracy, one of my favorite Guns N' Roses songs, Better, was next. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to say, if this is too difficult for him and it's going to fuck him up for the rest of the show, they got to drop it from the set. It's really unfortunate, but this is the one where it really showed that he was having trouble. And there's probably YouTube recordings out there. I don't ever want to see it again because he was, for the first time ever, I saw him miss lines or purposely hold back and not sing a line, and I'd never seen that before. You know, that's some Vince Neil shit. And I was like, man, is he gonna catch up? Is he gonna, you know? I kept saying they got to give him a break, so they would play an instrumental and give him a little break or something like that. Or I would know that he's going backstage during a long solo. I'm like, you know, God, let's help the guy out, because obviously, show number one, he's just not in his top form. And I know some people would say, well, what the fuck are you talking about? Why isn't he in top form? He's performing for a sold-out stadium of people that paid their money. Yeah, I agree. But again, as a Guns N' Roses fan, you have to accept certain things. And what you're going to accept is sometimes the start of the tour isn't going to be that great. I actually was talking to Jericho about it, and he said one of his favorite bands that he saw an opening show in L.A., and it was like the shits. So it happens, you know. And I don't think, looking back, that this was the shits overall, because other than the, you know, a couple of musical snafus and Axl struggling, like, you know, it's still Guns N' Roses, and the music was there, and the crowd around you is having a great time. You get swept up in it. But still, with my critical ear, I was hearing things and seeing things now that were, like, going, oh, my God, he just doesn't have it anymore. You know, and hopefully as the tour progresses, he'll snap into shape like he usually does. But, I mean, that remains to be seen. Like I said, I have tickets for AC. I certainly would want to see a better performance than I saw this night. But Better was a disaster. Estranged was next. You know, that's slower. He can do that. He doesn't need to run around. I can't remember if it was... I don't remember. I think it was good. He may have missed some things. I don't remember being blown away. Live and Let Die shows up, and I'm like... Normally in Live and Let Die, he's going to do these really long screams. Like, I'm talking like he's going to scream for 30 seconds to the point where you're going, how the fuck is he still doing that? You know, he hasn't even taken a breath. And it wasn't up to the level of Live and Let Die usually, where he really, you know, tears the roof off. He couldn't hit the screams. And I'm going, he's still struggling. You know, he's still having trouble. And they slowed it down a little bit. You're Crazy was next. I was happy to see that. Noting the songs that were kind of out of the ordinary. I'd never seen Slither before, and You're Crazy I hadn't seen in 10 years. So these are the little things you got to enjoy, right? And I liked it. You know, by this point, I'm kind of accepting the fact that his voice is a little thin tonight, just the way it's going to be. And I'm already anticipating a short show, because I'm thinking about the set list, and I'm going, he can't pull that off. And oh my God, I hope they don't do that. Like this, whew, like, and I'm not trying to bury the guy or talk shit. Like, it was almost more like sympathy. I mean, it's like, it was, I, texted some friends. I'm like, this is like watching a friend get beat up. This is like, I said, one of the things was, this is like going bowling with your elementary school class and everyone's parents are there and your dad bowls a zero. You know, like that's how painful it was at points for me. Like, oh man, this isn't his night, you know? So Rocket Queen is next. And that again has an extended instrumental break in the middle. Axel's getting a break. I think we took a walk around the building for that and came back for the end. And, you know, he just still hadn't gotten it. And I realized at that point, like, this is the night that we're getting, you know, he's not going to overcome this. There's no superhuman powers here, whether he's already blown his throat out or it's just raw or it's just, he needs to do his vocal techniques and things like that. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it was. Like I said, I did notice, and I've read reports of, you know, technical difficulties and sound difficulties, and if the guy who sings in that style can't hear himself and he's overshooting and overcompensating, he's going to blow his voice out, you know. And you see the fumble with the earpiece and the stepping on the pedal to talk to the sound team and whoever backstage, and you're realizing that they're not, you know, this is their opening night and there's going to be hiccups, and hopefully, you know, that doesn't continue. But I was there to witness it, and like I said, I knew either I was going to get, you know, a really special show, they're going to come out blazing, or I'm in danger of seeing a subpar tour opener. And that's kind of what it was, you know. It's not even close that this was the worst Guns N' Roses show I ever saw. It's not even close. Every other show I have no vocal complaints, no musical complaints, no nothing really. If any, the only complaints I'd have about a show in the past would be the similar set list or maybe a shorter show. And then they decided to do You Could Be Mine. And if you're if you know this song, Axel actually said in an interview in 2011, he's like, you know, I love, and I'm paraphrasing big time, but something like, I love the song. We nailed it. It became a big hit because of Terminator 2. And then he realized, oh my God, I got to sing this song every night. Like, this is not an easy song vocally. So to make that play call, whether it was him or whoever, or they just didn't deviate from it for whatever reason, he was in no condition to do You Could Be Mine at all. And I've never seen him skip lines. He was holding the mic out and mouthing the words for the crowd to sing it for him. That's not Axl Rose. That's just not the guy I've seen, you know, and or seen on concert videos, anything. Never seen that before. And like, I was hoping they were coming out strong, but this and Better were the two low points of the show, along with a lot of mediocre points and maybe a highlight or two. But Better and You Could Be Mine were nightmares, you know.
If you're looking to get rid of a few pesky pounds or even just maintain your weight, Bellway may be able to give you the boost you need. The super fiber in Bellway keeps you feeling full for a longer time after you eat. This can cut cravings so you eat less. This means you end up eating fewer calories in a day, which can help keep your weight in check. It's important to drink more water when you take Bellway fiber, and drinking more water has also been linked to weight loss. Bellway is an organic, all-natural, vegan, keto, paleo-friendly, and gluten-free fiber supplement that contains zero sugar. It's flavored with real fruit, so it tastes better than other fiber brands. Bellway is safe to drink every day, 1 to 3 times a day. To take it, simply mix it with water or blend it with your smoothie and drink it immediately. Bellway can come in tubs and stick packs starting at $19.99, and it's available in the U.S. only. So to check out Bellway Fiber, you can use the link in the show notes or just go to getbellway.com and use the code CCD20 to get 20% off your first order. That's CCD20 for 20% off your first order of Bellway Fiber.
I think they could keep You Could Be Mine in the set. He's got to be up for it. Better, I don't think, belongs anymore. I just don't think it does, and that's a shame. The next song, Axl gets a break, and Duff does the Stooges song, I Want to Be Your Dog, for the first time. I don't people consider that. Hey, they did another new song. I don't consider that because I left. And I went to get a beer and went to take a pee or whatever. I come back in Civil War, and I'm giving it a chance. You know, I think it was kind of in that mediocre range. Next up, Dead Horse, the first time I've ever seen that live. I was very happy to see it. He powered through on Dead Horse. I remember that for sure. I have some video that confirmed it. And no complaints there, you know. But at this point, I'm thinking to myself, this show's almost over. Because I don't know how much more he can just power through without, you know, fucking himself up for the rest of the tour. Or he's not going to be able to, like, kind of pantomime through. I'm sure he doesn't even want to be doing that. So Slash's solo is next, and once Sweet Child of Mine hits, I know we're around in the corner. So Sweet Child of Mine was fine. The crowd, of course, was all up for it, and that gives it that special vibe. November Rain was next. Same thing, you know, the crowd's up for it. That wasn't that great. I have some video of that where, I don't know, he was done, you know. By that point, it looked like he had some like strep throat or laryngitis or something. Like I was watching, I could see his mouth moving, and I could hear a word here, a word there, but the rest, it honestly looked like he could not make sound come out. Like he was fried. And but again, nobody noticed. I'm sure some people noticed, but no one that I spoke to noticed. This means nothing to them. They're getting to hear November Rain. They're singing along. They're dancing with their friends or their boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, and they're having a blast. So this is my overly critical self, you know, because I've seen so many great performances, and that's what I think I'm going to get. You know, I'm not the right kind of fan in there. There's a handful of us for sure. I was talking to Damian Darling about that. We're the only ones, the hardcore fans that watch highlights from every show and just know what's going on. We're the only ones in there with these expectations. Knocking on Heaven's Door is next. And then, you know, that's a good song for Axl to do. I've seen him actually start out shaky, and somehow Knocking on Heaven's Door, powering through that, pushes him up to another level. And that was my hope. But at the same time, I was looking at the time and I was thinking about what songs were left. And I knew we were just about done. But that was a second highlight. What did I say the first highlight was? What the hell? Slither, You're Crazy, Dead Horse, and Knocking on Heaven's Door were the highlights from the show. Once Night Train starts playing, you know, maybe tie your shoes and get your bag and crack your back and get ready to start walking, because that's the last song of the show before the encore. And I had no faith at all that they were going to be performing an encore whatsoever, other than Paradise City. Sometimes they'll slip another four or five songs in the encore. That's fucking sweet. Usually it's a surprise or two. But Night Train, the band nailed it. You know, Axl was, it was the end of the night, he was hurting, so there's nothing special there. But the band nailed it as usual. Slash was pretty fantastic there. Fortis is great. And Paradise City begins to end the show, which means they did their little walk off stage and oh, gotcha, we're coming back. You thought we were done, but yeah, I know it's very clever and specific to this band only to do an encore. But so as Paradise City begins, I begin to leave, and that's, I do that most of the time. I don't really care to see Paradise City. There's nothing wrong with it, but you know, I think that's a good time if you want to get out of there and get on to the next thing. Hey, we're going to the bar after. I want to get home. You could skip Paradise City if you're a cynical insider fan like me. If you're a casual fan, that could be the highlight of your whole night. So, you know, Paradise City's playing, I'm leaving, and we realize that Uber is now going to be charging $100, $112 for Uber rides and shit like that. So we find a Lyft driver. The ride would have been $45, and he's like, cancel the ride and give me $30 cash. Boom, okay. And yes, Tom, you did give him that cash. Don't worry, I'm not taking credit for that. So we went back, we went out a little bit, you know, believe it or not, a town 15 miles from Hershey, PA wasn't jumping like mad for some reason. So, you know, that was about it. But as far as the day went, you know, I had a great time. You know, my buddy and I had a lot of fun, and it was just good to get away, have a few drinks, talk some shit, you know, the ride, take a ride up, listen to music, listen to Get My Go on the way home. That's all good. The experience of going to a concert's always fun. And overall, like I said, it was probably the worst Guns N' Roses show I've ever seen. But even then, on a scale of 1 to 10, I might give it a 4.5 or a 5. It was like in the middle. I wasn't thrilled with it. I was actually quite mortified at times. But musically, and you're in there with the crowd, it's still an experience, and it was still fun. Now, what are my thoughts and hopes for the rest of the tour? Man, I really don't know, but I know that they can't continue to tour performances like this. That's why I'm hoping it was a rusty, shitty first night, and let's get Axl with the vocal coach, and let's tighten the band up a little bit. And, you know, I have faith that they can get it back together, and you better believe I'll be keeping an eye on it, because I'd like to know whether or not I should go to Atlantic City. I certainly don't want to see this type of performance again. So if they're kind of middling and muddling through shows, and I hear about it and see it and listen to it, the odds are I might sell my tickets. Although I really do want to take that trip and go away with my wife. I just don't want to go to that show again, you know, so hopefully they snap out of it. Some of the disappointments I'd like to go over, because there was a leaked set list from a show last year that was supposed to begin this tour, and then of course everything got canceled. But let me see if I can find it, because this is kind of what I was expecting, and I missed out on quite a few of these songs, which was disappointing. So it looks like I pretty much got, yeah, so from the set list, most of the beginning was accurate. After You're Crazy, they're supposed to bring out the newish song, Hard School. Did not get the new song. They're supposed to play Pretty Tied Up, which Usually Illusion 2 track, which they haven't played yet. Did not get that. Shadow of Your Love, and an old track that was released on the box set and given radio play and stuff when their box set came out, was not played. Let me see. Think About You, not played. And there was absolutely no encore, which could have featured Patience, Don't Cry, The Seeker, My Michelle Are Out to Get Me. None of that happened. By the way, to step back, I'm glad they didn't play Shadow Your Love, because Axl was not having it that night. It would have been the first time I saw it, and I don't want to see a bad performance of it. Alternate possibilities were four songs from Chinese Democracy: Madagascar, Prostitute, There Was a Time, and Sorry. I think if they threw Sorry in there, he probably could have pulled it off. Or Prostitute, or Madagascar, maybe. But There Was a Time was not happening. I mean, that's a good choice not playing There Was a Time. But so they shortened this set, which is, you know, it looked good to me. And they shortened the set. The band was a little sloppy here and there, and Axl was having significant problems throughout the show. So it wasn't what I would have wanted or expected. It didn't reach my high expectations. So hopefully they shake it off. I said on Keeping It 100 I was going to put this review out, so I wanted to do it. And you know, if I'm, you know, giving the show a thumbs in the middle to a thumbs down, then I'm telling the truth, because believe me, I'd want to be on here telling you how great it was. And they played the new song and all full of excitement. But I wasn't full of excitement. I was almost full of dread for most of the show. Like, oh no, like this is like watching being at a wake. Like at some points, things were so bad that I was like, I'm watching the band actually die. Like, this is it. This is the last tour. But I've thought that before. If you're a hardcore Guns N' Roses fan, you know that there's some clips on YouTube called the Axl Rose Disaster, where when Axl has a rough night, somebody puts together highlights or low-light videos. And there was a show broadcast online in 2011 to open the upcoming North American tour, and it just so happened to be Rock in Rio in front of 100,000 people. And, you know, Axl had a tough night. He hadn't performed in a year and a half again, whatever. But looking back on that, I would have loved to have gotten the Rock in Rio performance last night, because that was far superior to what we got. So, but the reason I'm saying that is, at that time, after watching that show, I went, there's no way, there's no tour. They can't go on like this. This guy's washed. He doesn't want to do it anymore. Let's call it a night. And they went through the tour, and it wound up being some of the best shows I'd ever seen. So it could happen. Now the problem is that was 10 years ago. So what does Axl have left in the tank 10 years on from some, you know, early sloppy performances in the tour? What has he got left? What's their purpose other than to go out there and make a lot of money? I'm not a guy harping on, oh, there's no new album. Oh, there's not a new album again. There's never a new... I don't care. I like to go see what they play anyway. But I have to ask myself, if his performance level isn't up to his own standards, I'm sure, and there's also nothing to plug, nothing to promote, no new music, nothing new to push, no new art you want to get out there, I'm not sure what the point is. So if this tour ends without even Hard School being played or released as a single, or even a hint of a new record, I don't think you're going to see these guys again. Like, if Axl's abilities have deteriorated to this point and there's nothing new coming, there's really no point. So and that as a big fan, that stinks. Terrible to say, but I'd always be thankful for the great shows I did see and all the great songs that they had released that I still love to this day. But that's where I stand. I'm hopeful that they can snap out of it. Maybe they'll play the new song. Maybe there's going to be more than one. Maybe they're really going to surprise people. I hope so. But if the level of performance stays the way it is, and they don't wind up taking any chances and playing any of those new songs or old songs or alternate songs, then they're just not into it. If they keep coming out and playing 21 song sets and just calling it a night, they're just sleepwalking their way through this, and they're just mailing it in. So, and maybe, I don't know what the personal relationships are like, if they're there or whatever, but they've been back at it for 5 years. So maybe guys like Slash or Duff are like, well, it's okay, we did it. You know, maybe even Axl's like that. Maybe he's thinking of doing something else. I don't know. But I do know that after years of hearing people bitch about the status of the band, now I'm kind of in that boat. Like, all right, guys, what are we doing now, though? I mean, I'm glad you're back together. I've seen some great shows. But now the performance is kind of dipping. So what can we expect as fans? What are you bringing to the table for us this year or next year? What's going on? What do we have to look forward to? You know, Otherwise, it's I could see things ending. I could see, and there was also talk before Slash and Duff came back that Axl just wanted to retire anyway and felt like he couldn't perform. And this is 2014. You know, he wanted to release another record with that, you know, Bumblefoot and Ashp version of the band, which is supposedly complete somewhere, and he was going to retire. And then Bumblefoot and DJ Ashp left the band, so that was shelved. And he went up getting back with Slash and Duff and getting into great shape and killing it for AC/DC. You can't imagine the difference between Axl Rose's vocals for AC/DC videos on YouTube to the vocals you heard last night. Now, did he fuck himself up singing like a madman for AC/DC? It's certainly possible. Is there a way to fix it? I don't know, man, but if there's a way to fix it, let's try to get on that, because you're on the road now. You're back out there. So I rambled enough, 45 minutes. To sum up, it was definitely a subpar show. I was still happy to be there and see the band again, but there needs to be something done, some changes, set changes, whatever, to help him if he's struggling. He needs to do whatever exercises he needs to do to try to get his voice back to an acceptable performance level. The band needs to tighten up, and, you know, outside shows, like I said, are a little more difficult. So maybe when they're indoors, they'll all sound better. It won't be, 90 degrees or whatever. And that's it. So do I regret going? Yeah, I kind of do, actually. I could have saved it for later in the tour. I knew going to a first show I was taking a chance. But I took the chance, so that's on me. But I'm looking forward to Atlantic City as long as, you know, things improve. If things aren't improving, I'm probably not going to go, which is very, very strange for me. You know, because I've always said I'd go see the band, go see this band play the same set every night. And I used to feel that way. But after last night, or after Saturday night, I'm not so sure. So as a hardcore fan, you know, I'm pulling for them. And I hope that things improve in Boston, which I think is the next show. And I'll be keeping an eye on it. But that's my live report and some of my history of a fan of Guns N' Roses. And if you're going to see them, you have tickets, by no means hear this and go, oh, Jesus, I'm not going. Because the odds are the shows will improve, and you'll get some different songs, and you'll still get to hear all the hits and all that. This is just one person's perspective from one show from one particular time. So don't let me talk you out of it. And if you're on the fence about going, just go. It is a great time. You know, if this is the Axl we can expect, the show is still fun, and everyone around you is going to be having fun, so why not join in on the fun? But anyway, that's about it. Thank you very much for listening. I wish I could tell you what I have in store for Creative Control and its listeners, but I don't know either, so maybe I'm just middling and muddling through things. But thank you very much for listening. Of course, check me out on Keeping It 100 with Conan and Disco every Thursday, and on The Raven Effect every Monday with Raven and Rich Bikini. And coming up, I will be on Talk is Jericho with Chris Jericho and Mike Portnoy, and we're going to be ranking the Quentin Tarantino films, you know, so obviously that's a big deal for me to be on that show. I'm appreciative to Chris. It was cool to meet Mike. So that's something special that's coming. But otherwise, you know where you're going to hear me every week on Mondays and on Thursdays on The Raven Effect and on Keeping It 100 with Conan. So thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it, and I hope everyone's doing well. Are you tired of credit card bills with high interest rates? Ready to pay off your credit card balances and start saving money? Well, you can get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream, and you could save thousands in interest. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay and excellent credit. And the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. Plus, there are absolutely no fees. The application is quick and easy and is 100% online. You can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. I remember before Lightstream ever worked with Creative Control Daily, I actually heard about their services on another podcast. And it couldn't have come at a better time. It was after Christmas, and I racked up some bills I probably shouldn't have. So after I heard the ad, I checked out the website, and everything that was said sounded too good to be true. But ultimately, it was true. It was so easy, quick, and convenient. I wish I would have found out about Lightstream sooner, actually, and I 1,000% recommend it to everyone. And if you want to take care of your debts and fix up your credit like I did, check out Lightstream and apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. And the only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/creative. LIGHTSTREAM.com/creative. CREATIVE. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/creative for more information.